Hey, it's Brian Murphy here, and whether you're orchestrating a corporate gathering, gearing up for a team-building session, or just seeking a spot to savor thrilling sports and activities, the Clubhouse in Fremont is the go-to destination for bistro, bar, bocce, golf, and fitness. From team-building to private golf lessons on any one of 140 golf courses around the world, the Clubhouse in Fremont has you covered. Visit FremontClubhouse.com to learn more about their amazing amenities and private events. The Clubhouse in Fremont, the Bay Area's place to play.
Luckily, college basketball has the world's longest half times, and we're going to take full advantage as Maryland and Alabama are at the break. Maryland down 38-46 to the Crimson Tide, and we're going to grab a wonderful terp, one of our good friends here on KMBR tonight, Mark Sanchez, to come in and talk some Giants as he licks his wounds from that first half. Mark, I'd ask how you're doing, but I think I already know.
I appreciate you guys planning this around the Maryland game. It's pretty courteous of you. But we're Terps. We're Turtles. You know, the slow and steady and all that. We'll be fine. We'll come back.
It's fine. Yeah, no, I'm with you. Listen, my Missouri Tigers beat Alabama, so you guys can certainly do it. And if you don't, I'll just hold it against you and your alma mater for a very long time and remind you of it frequently. Let's talk Giants. Tough day for Kevin Gausman against my Chicago White Sox. Does that have everything to do with the fact that my Chicago White Sox are going to win the World Series, or was there something up with Gausman?
I believe they changed the name to Kurtenbach's Chicago White Sox.
Yes.
One of those branding activities.
Much like Michigan State. It's presented by Kurtenbach at this point.
Exactly. Yeah, your White Sox they're going to be really good.
Yeah.
Up and down that lineup, there is just a whole lot of talent. And it's the type of talent that, if you miss and you're not locating right, then it goes a long way. Even the outs that Gausman was getting, you know, there were a couple of warning track catches, a couple of foul balls hit, you know, got to be 110 miles an hour off the bat that just went foul. He was getting bruised there. But, you know, he just wasn't locating with his fastball. He needed to get it further up and wasn't able to. My only slight concern with him is his fastball was like 93, 94, which is a tick under where it was last year, but we're in, you know, mid-March, late March, something like that, whatever the date is. He's got some time to build up. I think he'll be fine. I think the White Sox will be better than fine.
Yes.
You know, it's one of those days where you try to have a takeaway from Gausman today, and it was just, well, it's mid-March. He'll get better.
And the White Sox are great. Johnny Cueto pitches a sim game today. Listen, the Giants seem to be playing coy with who's going to start on opening day between Cueto and Gausman. You'd imagine that Gausman has the inside track. Did Cueto do anything in that sim game paired with Gausman's not-so-awesome outing today to maybe give him a little bit of a jump start in that race?
It is interesting that you say Gausman's got the inside track because I think up until really now, I thought Cueto had the inside track. That they'd been lining up the rotation so that, you know, if Cueto keeps going on every fifth day, he would be April 1st, and Gausman was right behind him this whole time. So just sort of, if you extrapolate, it's, well, right. I guess it's going to be Cueto. And then they shuffled it a bit, and they threw both of them today, which sort of gives them the option of having either April 1st. And Gausman is the better pitcher. He is, you know, they're calling him their ace. For every reason, I think it's going to be Gausman. It is tough to read, you know, a sim game that Cueto pitched today because, you know, we don't have velocity readings. You try to read the bats and the swings that he gets, but half of those swings were all, you know, minor league players.
Right.
He threw about 80 pitches. He looked fine from what I could see. He then went and ran and was swinging the bat some, which was encouraging because they're going to have to start swinging the bat, actually. But in terms of does he have enough to leapfrog Gausman, I don't think so. I think they've now given Gausman the opportunity to start opening day by lining him up at the same time. And there are going to be conversations. And, you know, you want Cueto to be okay with everything. You want Gausman to be okay with everything. But I would be very surprised if it's not Gausman at this point.
Well, let's finish out the rotation. What did you see from Tony Disco this past weekend?
He's another one where, you know, you see the good fastball and you see a pretty good changeup, but it was not really where it's got to be eventually. And there, you know, if you're going to struggle, this is now the time to struggle. And he wasn't bad, but he He had some traffic on the bases. He walked a couple, gave up a couple hits, which is now kind of the time to do that, where, you know, you have to work out of the stretch a lot. You have to sort of adjust as you go. They're not really worried about Dee Sclafani very much. He's going to be their probably number three pitcher. He's still going to be building up, I think, as the season starts. You're probably going to maybe see him go five. You know, if they stretch it, go six. He's got a big arm, and you sort of see how it develops as you know, the first weeks of the season go. But in terms of the next Gausman, he's really the guy with the upside there, because they don't have really as live an arm as he does. He's, you know, when he's going right, he's upper 90s. He's got the arsenal, and it's just keeping him healthy and getting him ready. And that's sort of just what they're doing with him, is getting him ready right now.
Then Logan Webb has made three starts so far this spring, and I'm looking here. He's allowed two hits. That's it, in six innings. Obviously, it's not a huge sample size or anything, but the 10 strikeouts, the one walk, and the two hits seems really, really good. Is this just, hey, it's spring training, don't read into it, he's going up against guys who are not going to be in the major leagues, or is there something different with this Logan Webb guy? Because I'm telling you right now, Mark, I'm seeing these numbers, and I'm having a hard time not putting him on my draft and fantasy baseball list.
You know, you look at the numbers for, I mean, giant relievers like Silvino Bracco or Jimmy Scherfy, and you see about the same strikeout rates. But it's completely different in terms of how they're getting them.
Right.
Where Logan Webb has been a starter. He's pitching against the best players from other teams. You know, he got a start against the Dodgers A lineup, and he is getting these strikeouts off legitimate major league players. And this is not some sort of, you know, put in a reliever in the seventh, have him go the seventh and eighth, and he's striking out some double A guys. You can sort of see the confidence change with Webb. And it starts with his changeup, that it is a pretty elite pitch at this point. And it was very good last year, but he couldn't get enough fastball strikes to sort of get into the two strike scenarios where he could then finish guys off with the changeup. So this year he's leading more with off speed stuff. You know, he's sprinkling in his fastball more than dominating with his fastball, and it's been dominant so far. He's right. If you're looking for a breakout player, it's in your fantasy leagues, it might be Logan Webb, because it's not accidental that he's getting these strikeouts and this performance. He is getting them all legitimate big league players.
And then you have Aaron Sanchez and Alex Wood for the final spot. Wood has this back injury, but it sounds like he's on the mend. Is Sanchez have a shot at taking it? Are they going with a six-man rotation? Where does it stand there at the back end?
They're keeping their options open.
Stunning.
For literally anything you can ask them. They're opening that door.
What are you having for lunch? Keeping our options open.
Cannot commit one way or the other. There are a lot of advantages, you know, each way we see this. You know, it's going to be interesting to see what they do. And a lot of it is dependent on Wood's health. You know, he threw today a bullpen session. They're going to have him next go a live BP. And then, you know, you see how he feels. And after that back ablation procedure that he had, it's more a pain tolerance thing than it is he's going to, you know, re-injure himself or something.
What were the circumstances of that that surgery? I mean, the way that it read on Twitter was, dear God, like, he's never going to pitch again. What happened there?
Essentially, it's an inflamed nerve that they sort of, you know, direct the waves at and sort of get rid of it. De-inflame it.
I'm pretty sure they stuck like a stent in it, right? They gave him like a spinal tap.
It was the spine. The actual procedure itself and how they do it, I'm not sure.
Okay.
But, you know, he's had back issues in the past, and this procedure, when it goes right, is supposed to, you know, for maybe 2 weeks afterward, there's pain, and then it's fine.
Okay.
And that is the hope here is, you know, he might feel some pain right now, but then, you know, after that period, then it hopefully will not come up again. It is hard for me to imagine them sort of rushing him back and saying, all right, we'll throw you six innings first week of the season. We'll see how you do. So yeah. It goes against everything that this Giants pitching coordinators have really instilled, and that's health first, and it's a long season, and we'll see where we're going to be at.
Right.
So if he's healthy, I can see him making a start, or I can see him going three innings in relief, and Aaron Sanchez has thrown one game so far in the spring, where he threw three innings, and even in his third inning, his velocity was a bit down.
Okay. So
he's not going to be stretched out to five or six innings, I think, for the first week. So I wouldn't be surprised to see, three or four innings from one, three innings from the other. Nick Tropiano also is a candidate like that, who is sort of a reliever, but also a swingman and can step up and can pitch two or three innings on the bullpen.
Okay.
I think there'll probably be some of that the first week with Wood and with Sanchez and with Tropiano, to sort of start covering innings in a way that isn't overexerting anyone.
What's the deal with Brandon Belt?
Yeah, that's a tough one. he was swinging today. He was taking at bats. I can report that. I saw him off Cueto. Didn't do anything particularly interesting, but he was at least in a batter's box, which we've only seen a couple times. And that's, I think, both discouraging and telling. Under the same principles as Wood, I can't imagine them rushing him back, both because he's a very important player for the Giants and they don't want to risk him, and also because he hasn't seen nearly enough plate appearances for him to be ready. Brandon Crawford said ideally he wants to get 50 at-bats in the spring and then his swing feels ready. Belt maybe will play Thursday for the first time. That they're targeting possibly Thursday, possibly Friday, first time a pinch hit at-bat, and then maybe you see him play the field. So, he's going to maybe have five or six at-bats. I think they open it with him on the IL, and that's when you've got Tommy La Stella at first. You're going to have Wilmer Flores at first. You'll probably see some Jason Vossler at first, too, and just you give Belt some time to heal here.
Evan Longoria is just hitting the snot out of the ball down in Arizona, but he hasn't played any defense. And he's the one guy who sort of transcends the platoon saloon in San Francisco. Maybe that's not the case this year, but he's hitting both kinds of pitchers well. I mean, this is a guy who looks rejuvenated, at least at the plate, but there's no DH. He has to be in the field. When can we expect that? And the Giants are already, kind of booting the ball around a little bit. Is there an issue bringing in a guy who may not be 100% healthy? And let's be real, probably lost a step or two at third base from his Gold Glove caliber play, a couple of years ago. Like, is this going to be a defensive liability for the Giants at the hot corner just to get his bat in there?
The defensive liability will be anyone at third base who isn't Evan Longoria.
Valid. Good call. Good call. That is astute and correct.
even 80% Evan Longoria is going to be better than anyone else on the Giants roster. Even La Stella, who plays, third, he's not an above average third baseman. He just sort of plays a passable third where, the ball's hit to him. He's not going to boot it.
Right.
It's a concern with Longoria because it's plantar fasciitis, which, that lingers. He can deal with it because he's dealt with it in the past. But the fact that it's hurting him this much that he can't play the field here, and he even said, I don't want to go out in the game and play two innings and then have my feet killing me. And so I've got to tell Kapler, I got to come out. And then it becomes a bigger story than it is.
Right.
They think they're going to see him in the field sometime this week for maybe a game or two. Beyond that, I don't really expect to see him beyond April 1st. But when April 1st comes, he's going to be in the lineup. He's going to be at third base. He knows how to manage it. And he knows, once the season starts, then it's time to say, all right, I'll play through this pain. It is discouraging, though, from a long-term perspective here, because they're going to need him this year. And thankfully, they won't need him as much as they needed him last year, where, he's going to be playing every single day.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't put really Wilmer Flores there.
Nope.
La Stella can play third. Vossler, I'm not sure I've seen enough to really grade him. He seems to be playing at least maybe an average third. But Longoria, at his best, is a Gold Glover, and his bat has looked a lot better and has been pretty promising. And, maybe if he's not playing every single day but playing three out of four and, not seeing the toughest righties, then you see that OPS go up and him to be a bigger weapon than he's been with the Giants. But to do that and even to be in the lineup, you know, most of the time, if not all the time, that's going to take a lot of pain tolerance from him, because plantar fasciitis, that really sticks with a guy, and it can hurt a guy. So you hope that he can sort of find a way to manage it, because they're going to need him at the plate, and they're going to need him in the field. And, you know, if not, they're in some trouble.
Talking to Mark Sanchez of KMBR.com, Giants reporter for us down in Arizona. You're listening to KMBR and KMBR-FM San Francisco, the sports leader. Giants made some more roster moves, sort of the procedural stuff, sending guys down to the minor leagues. But it does feel as if this roster is coming into focus now with Cactus League Baseball sort of rounding out their campaign here. Are there any surprises? Obviously, you know, there's not a lot of room for surprises given the fact that everybody sort of has a job because they have seven different lineups that they could trot out given the circumstances of the day. And so everybody has to, you know, have a bunch of different roles. But is anything, as we've kind of gone through this process, and again, things are starting to come into focus, has anything kind of, you know, raised your eyebrow and said, oh, I didn't expect that?
You know, you're right in that most of the team was pretty much composed even when they got into camp. You know, you know who the infielders are going to be. You pretty much knew the outfielders. You knew the pitching to an extent. You know, their rotation is set. And the relievers, there have been a couple of surprises, but you knew that there would be a couple emerging guys. The one who's really impressed me is Jason Foster, who I mentioned.
Yes.
If you're gonna get another infielder in there, it would have been tough in my mind because they are so set with right side of the infielders. You know, with Flores, with Solano, that they are pretty stacked at second base, and that's where Bostler plays too. But he has just hit. You know, everywhere he has played, he's hit. He played right field today. He's played left. He's played third. He's played first. I kind of thought that Lamont Wade would probably break camp with the team because he can play center field. I'm not sure he can play a great center field, but he can play center field. Okay. And they needed, or they could really use a lefty hitting option in center. Mm-hmm. But Wade has not really hit. And with the injury to Belt, you know, both of them play first too, Wade and Bostler, and Bostler has just vastly outplayed him so far. So I've been really impressed with Bostler, and I think he's probably won a job on the team, and this will be his debut, presuming he does indeed win that job and Belt goes on the IL. So for a 26-27-year-old who's kind of been blocked everywhere he's gone, it's been a really nice camp for Bostler.
Is there any chance, and this is something we talked about a couple weeks ago, is there any chance that they can move off of one of those second basemen before, you know, the season starts, that they might opt to trade him, or is it clean enough now without Belt in the picture that everybody has a role and it's not a surplus to needs?
I think there's a chance. And you look at the roster itself, which is jam-packed. There are 40 guys on it, and there are going to be a couple pitchers who have to be added to the 40-man, which means that, you know, you either make a trade or guys get DFA'd. Mm-hmm. I expect a few guys will get DFA'd, although obviously not the ones you're asking about. But there's a possibility that, you know, they say, I don't know, we like Steven Duggar, we want to keep him around, we don't want to risk him, let's see what we can get for Donovan Solano or Wilmer Flores. I think if they get blown away with a deal that sort of makes sense for them and saves them from a DFA, I can see that happening. Okay. At the same time, that's definitely not the favorite. And with the injuries that have already hit them, you know, it's possible that Flores ends up at third base, you know, when Longoria can't play for the first week and is in a lot of pain. And then you got Solano at second and Dubon at center, and there's no more center second base jam as there is right now. So I think that's the most likely scenario, and you just DFA a couple guys. But if a deal comes by them and that sort of solves the problem, I can see it.
Mark Sanchez will never be DFA'd. That is my solemn promise to all of you. He covers the Giants for KMBR.com, and his time in Arizona is about to come to an end. But damn it, we learned a lot in the process. And Mark, we thank you again for all the time you spent with us here on KMBR tonight. I'm pretty sure this will be our last time talking with you down in the desert. And can't wait for the season to start and all the great coverage you'll provide, my friend.
No, I appreciate that. I'm now going to forward this to my KNBR bosses and let them know I cannot be DFA'd. So I appreciate the
it's too late. I already did it.
There.
Already did it. Jake Montero's. It's already in the inbox. Thanks for coming on again, Mark. And I guess go Terps. I don't know. I'm definitely not going to say Roll Tide.
Go Terps. There's no I guess about it. No. Thank you, Dieter.
All right. Mark Sanchez, ladies and gentlemen. Has to root for just a god-awful basketball team. Tough break for him. But, you know, I root for Missouri, so I know what it's like.
Golfers, get ready to elevate your Saturday mornings. Yeah, it's Brian Murphy here, and I am thrilled to introduce the Clubhouse Corner with Ben and Eddie. This is a passion project from the good folks at the Clubhouse in Fremont. These two are on a mission to make golf accessible and enjoyable for the masses. So set your alarm. 7 a.m. every Saturday, join Ben and Eddie at the Clubhouse Corner. Only on KNBR.